Welcome back. I'm excited that you've joined me today. Our format's going to be a little different, so stay tuned. It's time for us to drill down. We talked about this before. It's time to drill down into the first of the three areas of history that we've already outlined for you. All three areas have one key that could possibly unlock solutions to your biggest challenge. As we explored previously, history means business is all about life today. I'm not talking about becoming an expert on historic and historical events, people, and places. You don't even have to really be a history buff or like history that much at all. History is such a part of our lives. It's so routine. We don't even recognize often what it is exactly that has been guiding us along our path. As we explored in the documentary film History Means Business America, we use history every day. Some people think that it's boring and not very relevant, but just let me remind you of a few things like we talked about before. When you visit the doctor, for example, he or she not only asks you about your medical history, but the doctor also wants to know about your family medical history as well, right? Knowing this is pretty critical. Knowing this history can help the doctor pinpoint what to look for, right? And let me turn the page. As a stockbroker and financial advisor, I used history every day. The FINRA rule is clear. It's simply know your customer or your client. I needed to know what my client's background was, their history, his or her risk tolerance, their goals, their financial health, all this information before I could recommend any investments. We needed to go back in order to take appropriate actions today for future results. Now, this makes sense, right? Think about the law. The law is based on historic and oftentimes just simply historical data and cases and precedents from the past and noted arguments before the court to make a case for one's client. History is obviously used as the foundation for all the laws that are made today and have been made for centuries. It's all part of history as a way to protect our citizens today and in the future. So now, remember, we broke down the three areas of history and the key to unlock solutions in the past. Remember that? And remember, it was from the mango story. Area number one is seniors, i.e. living, quote-unquote, living history. The second area is the pages, i.e. the pioneers in history. And the third area is your own history, which includes your business or the industry that you're in. And today, we're focusing on the first area, seniors, i.e. living history. And the key, remember the key, is imagination. And again, we will explore the second and third areas of history in the next two shows. So stay tuned. When I was a young boy, when I was a wee lad, I might have been around 13 years old, I remember thinking to myself, and I've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth repeating, I remember thinking to myself, I can't wait to be old. And I didn't mean old in terms of in teenage years, like 18 or 19. I meant senior citizen old. You know, that's not the best terminology to say, you know, when referring to age, but a seasoned individual. I admired my granddad so much that I wanted to be just like him. And whenever, and this really is the root of it all, because whenever an insult came his way, and I spent a lot of time with my granddad, it just rolled off of him. He would just laugh it off or ignore it. And I could see through it, through his eyes, he wasn't afraid of the one making the insult. It seemed to me, it probably was true, that he was above that. He was above them. He was on a higher plane. So being a young person, I really desired this, this very much. Think about those junior high years that we all had. This was a great thought. And I was getting into a lot of conflicts at that age, a lot of fist fights and all the time, getting into some pretty good trouble. And it took time for me to a long time actually to figure out. It wasn't just age alone. That is a part of it, but it's the character of the individual, of the man or woman who's learned from their years. Not all of us do this though, and we all know that. I know some pretty immature people that are pretty advanced in years, and they still focus on the wrong things. And focus is obviously so darn important. A little side note, my granddad was a very stern man, and he certainly had his faults. I want to just say that even in my youth, I could see them. But his positive outweighed the negatives, at least in my mind. And he started his own, he was a really pretty neat guy, when you think about it. He started his own insurance agency in 1925 when he was just 23 years old. He worked really, really hard and had that willpower and became very successful. For example, during the Great Depression, he was driving around Miami in a Packard when other people were in bread lines. And he was a very giving man as well. Let me just mention that. My father was born... And he had a few, just right after my father was born, he had, my granddad and my grandmother divorced, and he had a few more wives along the way, let me just say that. And his fourth wife, but they were married twice, was a woman that I knew best. And she was a wonderful lady, a real firecracker, but a very genuine person. She was a great cook, for example, but she hated cooking. But go figure, she hated being in the kitchen, but man, she was a really, really marvelous chef, home chef. And one day we were all sitting on the front porch, my grandfather and his wife, and this was in North Carolina. We were on his on the front porch of his rock cabin in the mountains. And I told you about this before. But I didn't tell you this story. We were listening to Granddad telling us a story about one of his adventures, probably during, I would imagine it was when he was in the Civil Air Patrol, because we had a lot of great stories, learned a lot of neat things about my granddad when he flew planes for the Civil Air Patrol. And after a while, his wife turned to me and said, knowing your granddad, knowing that he was just an earshot, she said, Lance, I should write a book about my life with your granddad. The things I've put up with all these years and the stories that I can tell. So I just nodded at her. And in that moment, right about that time, my granddad responded. And he said, well, you can write a book, but no one will read it. She just got up and said, oh, Roy, and went back into the cabin. And then Granddad looked over at me with a big smile and didn't say a word. That was classic Granddad. water on a duck's back to him. Any situation, any conversation, gesture or deed only has the meaning that you and I attach to it. We give it that meaning, right? We all know that. It's just nice to remember. And we have that power. It takes a while to understand what, when, and how, or how quickly to assess whatever is thrown our way and how and if we are to respond to it. And if we want happiness, think about this. If we want happiness, who cares what anybody else really thinks of you, right? We'll be right back right after this quick break.
As you listen to today's podcast, we hope you will be inspired and find helpful hints from the past, sparking your imagination and helping you find solutions to your challenge. Remember, you can visit our websites anytime, historymeansbusiness.com and rodlancemorton.com for inspiration. Check out the trailers and clips to our award-winning documentary film, History Means Business America, with links to securely watch on Vimeo, on demand. Now, back to Rod.
All right. Let me share with you another short little story, and it's a true story. It's about a young man that had lost his way, not too far gone, but the kid was confused. He was 18 years old, and he thought he was in love. So with a sad heart, he leaves his girlfriend and heads off to college. And as I said, he had lost his way, blinded by love and immaturity. He had decided that he didn't want to go to college, but his parents had given him a choice. It was either go to college or go into the military. So the young man made the choice of college because he thought it would be a lot easier to drop out of college than the military. And remember, he had wanted, and all he had wanted was to be with this young lady, get a job, and have a good time. So so he and his girlfriend communicated by phone and by letter. But after a while, you know, maybe a few months or so, they decided that they could see other people and just see what happens. So I think you know where this is going. The young man was conflicted, but he decided to stay focused and dedicated to wine, women, and song. Plus, his conflicted relationship with his long-distance girlfriend, still dedicated to her. He decided to attend classes when he felt like it, but stayed disciplined in the objective and the goal of never opening a book. The good times continued through the first and second semesters of his freshman year, and by now the long-distance romance had ended, and he was dating all the time. She had found another young man somewhere else, and however, their friendship was quote-unquote now just a friendship. But that it continued. They still spoke long distance. This young man thought he would fool everyone, mostly his parents, by partying day and night, neglecting his schoolwork, and go off and marry his girlfriend back home. Now, his world was blowing up on him. The girlfriend had found somebody else and now was, like I said, just reduced to just friends. And they never really broke up, but that wasn't exactly a romance. Yet now he found himself way behind in school. He had no plan B, and he was caught in a really dark place. He was lost. Everything he thought he knew wasn't as it seemed. Living an empty life without any worthy goals, depressed about the turn of events in his life, the young man went out partying one night and came back to his dorm extremely intoxicated. Now, this was a very conservative Christian college. So, this wasn't good news. It was pretty bad news. And sure enough, someone informed the dean about his intoxicated state, and he now faced being expelled. Already, mind you, on academic probation, he was in it deep. Fortunately, his father was on the school's board of directors, and the young man was given a reprieve. He got a big break. Lucky break. His parents had been begging him to take college seriously and to stop the nonsense. One day, he was sitting in his dorm room, and someone informed him that he had a phone call in the lobby. This was before cell phones. So, he goes down, picks up the phone, and on the other end of the line was, "And this is it. I'm being expelled today. No plans, lost, and in a hole now deeper than the Grand Canyon." He was about to face his opportunity to get it right's demise. "It's over. It's all over for me now," he thought. "I've blown it." As he fearfully walked into the dean's office, the dean emeritus, that is, the dean greets him with a smile and asks him to sit down. This was kind of a shock to the boy. He's thinking to himself, "I'm a nobody. This man I'm sitting before, he helped create 2 graduate schools. He has the largest private theological library in America, studied at Oxford, and yet here I am in his office, and he's treating me pretty well so far." The meeting was short, and the 74-year-old scholar asked the young man a question, And this was the question. It was simply this. Do you like steak? The boy was a bit bewildered and said, "Yes, sir, I do." "Great," the scholar replied. "How about joining me for lunch at the local steakhouse?" And just like that, the beginning of a lifetime friendship had begun. A wise old man, a biblical scholar, reaching out to a young 18-year-old man that had lost his way. At the first lunch, he simply asked the young man about his hometown, the things he liked and was interested in, those kind of things. The boy was just blown away. He could see that the old man saw in him that he didn't see in himself. He could see that he saw potential in the young man. And the young man would ask the erudite professor, the dean emeritus, all about his amazing life and how he had arrived here today. Just listening to this gentle, humble man of God lit a fire in him that can never be measured. They became unbelievable good friends. He took all the professors, he was a professor as well, a Bible professor. He took all of the professors' classes, and they would have lunch every week at that same local steakhouse. And the years went by, and the old man actually performed his wedding, wedding ceremony. And they remained friends. He gave the inaugural speech at a 39ers club meeting for senior citizens that the young man had spearheaded. And the dean would visit his home, and the home of he and his wife, the young man's wife, until the end of his life. So, what happened to the young man from the old man's mentorship? He went from, this is the backstory here, he went from academic probation to honor student within 1 year. He transferred to a great university and graduated after working odd jobs and starting a new life with his bride. He would also go on to become vice president of two major corporations, CEO of his own company, and an author, and much, much more. If I told you more, his identity would be revealed, and we don't want to do that. So the power of a wise, older, I should say, mentor, man or woman, cannot be underestimated. How many lost, quote-unquote lost, young people can and could be saved by a single caring person willing to reach out and save a drowning lost soul? As you can see from this story, and probably we're already aware yourself, it's not just in, you know, the poor neighborhoods. I'm sure you're aware of this. It's all people. No matter where we come from, a young mind needs guidance before they reach maturity. They need confirmation, strong discipline as a powerful and positive tool, not as a negative tool. They need someone to believe in them and help them make better choices. Not by what they are told, not by what we tell them, but rather by how they are shown the way. You know, technology today has given youth power, again, quote-unquote, power, yet they still need the guidance, and they need our guidance until fully mature. And I would say, when I say our guidance, they need some mentorship. I mean, that would be extremely helpful. If their parents aren't there, that void can be met. Now this young man had great parents, as I mentioned in the story, but sometimes that's not the case. And his parents cared, but he rebelled. So we know those individuals as well. The value of our elders, the wise sages that are lifelong learners, is so incredible. As we discussed in the film, History Means Business America, as we get older, our values and our value, I should say, increases. It doesn't decrease. Think about that. Our value increases. Kind of flies in the face of cultural mores today. Listen, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know Rod also has a blog? visit rodlancemorton.com, and while you're in there, check out Rod's exciting book, Buttonwood 24. Read the reviews and see for yourself. It's filled with Wall Street history, mystery, and romance. If you haven't seen Rod in person, his events are fun, exciting, and inspiring. Now back to Rod.
Too often, it just seems ubiquitous. Senior citizens are looked at in a very negative light. They're no longer useful, is the thinking. No value now that they're retired. The WOFM, acronym for What's in It for Me, is gone. There's nothing there. They're losing your looks, you're losing your health, you're losing your minds in some cases, and our lives, meeting the Grim Reaper. And that's all that our culture, across the globe, often think about. But this clearly isn't true. It's the opposite. With this mentality, so many seniors are ignored, and they're the brunt of jokes, and they're overlooked. What would happen to them if they were to meet the next lost 18-year-old? The benefits would be mutual, and really exponential, as we just talked about. Speaking of benefits, isn't it great when you think you've been given a task, something you really have to do, you think it's kind of a good deed, perhaps, for someone else, but then the whole thing ends up quite differently than you had expected. There's another quick story, and this is another true story, there was a little old lady. This lady was a shut-in. She was shut out from the world, and she lived in a little cottage in the mountains. And she was unable to leave, leave her home. She was obviously ill and couldn't drive. So she relied on Meals on Wheels and other volunteers for her survival. Occasional trips to the doctor was it as far as getting out of the house. And so she was said to be very lonely and had outlived her family and friends. So her local church asked a member of their church to pay her a visit. Cheer her up. That person was me. And this was back in the 1980s. I was still in college. And they painted a picture of a woman that was obviously cut off from the world and very lonely because nobody visited her. That makes sense, right? So, after I agreed to visit with her, I started thinking maybe I might have made a mistake. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe nobody comes by. Maybe she breathes fire. So, a few days later, I drove up to her little cottage, and I knocked on the door. This was when I was in college. And I knocked on the door, and moments later, I was greeted by the warmest woman I'd ever met. She was gregarious, bright. She turned out to be highly educated. She was very articulate and just a genuine person. And I would later continue to visit her as often as possible until the time I moved away. What I found was, as I got to know her, I would get as much, if not more, out of those visits than she did. She was so great. I mean, one day, this little, you know, sometimes all it takes is the little thing and little things, and we've talked about that. But she had made me a little bookmark and weaved it, and that really left an impression on me, and it was really special. Just little things like that. And she was just an absolute pleasure to be with. She was lonely, so I helped her in that regard, and she took me to a place of peace, a total void of the judgment and snarky kind of sarcasm, things like that we routinely and often find in our world. So it was a nice little retreat, just a woman that was so genuine. And it was a two-way street of mutually beneficial that... And that that two-way street that we found both of us beneficial, mutually beneficial, that's really available to all of us. Again, the names and the places are different, but all across America, this is available to each and every one of us. I've met some senior citizens that were very mean, quote unquote again, mean in their outer disposition. They have been hurt so long, life made them very cold. And of course, you know, why the crusty disposition? Obviously, they did not want to open up so they couldn't get hurt again. But that creates a different kind of pain, doesn't it? Loneliness, that's not a good pain. And I've had so many senior citizens and clients that I've gotten to know over the years that I found really this way. They were, you know, kind of crusty on the outside. And when that shell is broken and you got to really know them, they were just marvelous people, just on their guard. And we are so quick to judge and place labels on people that we are also guarded, you know, ourselves, because we don't want a label placed on ourselves. No one wants to be hurt. And remember, pain, like we said before, is something that we're constantly battling with in some form or fashion, right? We all know that. And I know many of you have experiences very, very similar to this. And we have people of all ages that are tuning in today and listening right now. And perhaps, you know, you listening right now, you might be that senior citizen in need of a visit. And God knows this has been a difficult time for all of us. Or you may be a mentor. You may be that senior that's a mentor to a young person that's starting out. And I applaud you and I encourage you to keep it up and recruit some of your friends to jump in and help out. If you are on the road and you're, let me try to rephrase that. If you're out on the road today in your RV or just traveling to destinations across our beautiful country, why not visit a senior center? Perhaps go to a church, a nearby church, or visit anyone that you may know that could use a little good old-fashioned company. What a great way to make a new friend. And I'm not just reminding you as I say this, and really through all these podcasts, I'm not just reminding you and just trying to educate you. I'm trying to mind you, and as I'm doing that, I'm looking at the mirror as I speak to you. All right, we're going to take a quick music break, and everyone likes music, right? And we'll be right back. Just a sec. All right, in closing and a recap, we first started the History Means Business biography show, TV show, to document senior citizens that have made a positive impact on generations. And listen, I have found so many seniors that are living the best years of their lives. There are actually polls out there that show you're happier as you get older. And the older you are, the happier you tend to be. And so I think there's a little bit of reasoning behind that we can all figure out for ourselves, right? I think you finally get your priorities. We get our priorities straight. We get them in order. We focus on what really matters in life. And so, hey, listen, don't fear getting older. I'm looking in the mirror. Look forward to it. And those are happy times. And we can focus on that as time goes on. Listen, our first show, the very first History Means Business show, we featured a man called Dewey Colbreth, a.k.a. Catfish Dewey. He was the owner of a South Florida landmark with the eponymous title from the Catfish Dewey title, I should say. And he rose from absolute poverty. I mean, this guy went further than anybody else, and we interviewed some very successful people on the show, but he came from absolute poverty. He was raised in a home with no electricity, no running water, and get this, dirt floors. I mean that's pretty bad. But he said he didn't think it was all that bad at the time, but Now he would own several businesses before he started his highly successful catfish restaurant. And I love his advice. He gave some really good advice. He said, never let what you don't know, never let your lack of experience in any way, don't let it stop you in anything that you do. Delegate that task to someone else. Hire somebody. And he said he had to go into business for himself because nobody else would hire him. And he was a great man. I loved it when he, and I didn't know exactly how he would show up. We did the interview at his restaurant in Fort Lauderdale, and he came to the interview in a big old cowboy hat. And he was bigger than life, and the reason for the cowboy hat, you would think that doesn't go in South Florida too well, but he also owned a ranch up in North Florida. And so he passed away a few years ago. Not a few years ago, probably not, maybe a year ago. And his wife, Shirley, is also an amazing woman and someone that I also admire very, very much. And Dewey was just an incredible man. You know, who are you thinking about right now? And I'm sure that someone has popped into your mind. Is it a family member, a friend, or someone that is just on your radar? Why not reach out to them? My parents, I would be remiss if I didn't say this, my parents were the obviously the biggest mentors in my life and with a lot of people, and that's natural. And I had wonderful parents, and they made the biggest influence on my life. My mother passed away this year, and she encouraged me to reach for the stars, and my father demonstrated that all things are possible. And my parents always made sure that God was the focus in the family. Now, what about you? Who has inspired you? You know, no matter who we are, there are people that we admire and that inspire us. Who do you think of? What did they say? What did they do to make you feel special, you know, or spark a little fire in you? And listen, whenever anybody takes an interest in us, it's a great feeling. even if it may not be true, and it's on a false pretense, it feels good, doesn't it? And then we can make it true, right? Determination. It's not necessary to have anyone or anything in our lives, as we all know, for us to be our very best and to reach for the stars and to just be who we really need to be in life. But it sure does make it easier, doesn't it? After all, we all know life is a battle. It's a battle. And we get hit from all sides and sometimes right out of the blue from nowhere. And sometimes that can happen on multiple occasions, right? And in a short span of time. So a little help along the way sure can make a difference. And listen, before we wrap up, don't forget to get out and explore America. Listen, thank you for joining me today. And on our next podcast, 2 weeks from today, we will explore, dig deeper into the pages, i.e. the pioneers in history. And until next time, listen, have a historic day. I'll see you next time.
The copyright owner of this podcast is Morton Imagine Company.